Is this your first time on Amtrak?
I think it is, because I don't remember an experience like this before, so I'll say yes.
Okay. So the internet is here. What film are we talking about today?
We are talking about the movie 187, which is going to open July 30th. And starring Sam Jackson, Warner Brothers release.
And what's the most important thing that comes here?
That everybody goes see it. That's the most important thing. I'll describe it as it's a drama about a teacher who finds himself faced with some pretty terrible choices. And I'll leave it at that for today. But it's unlike any of these other high school films you've seen before. It's not dangerous, not just kind of the polar opposite of that. It's a pretty intense, disturbing drama.
How did you find the story? How did the project come to you?
The project was sent to me by the guys at Icon Productions, Mel Gibson's company. They developed it and asked me to get involved, and I was very taken by it. It's written by a teacher, Scott Yeagerman, who taught for 7 years in the LA Unified School District as a substitute. And based on his experiences, Scott came up with this script.
That's a very different project from Waterworld and what you just said, Robin. I'm just curious about, was it a project of passion for you? Did you feel the struggle with the people?
I did. I mean, I was very drawn into it. I mean, this world that Scott created, that I didn't really know anything about. I felt like, if I'm really interested in this, if I find it compelling, hopefully an audience will too. And so we set it out to try to make a film that was as realistic as the script was.
How did you feel about doing the research to get that kind of realism? For example, I know the New York City school, public school systems and the New Jersey school systems.
It's
just difficult to be able to get in and really know that research.
Well, we were lucky in that Scott was the writer, and we actually had a teacher, so he was an invaluable source of expertise. And we actually went around and visited different schools and talked to different teachers and tried to absorb as much as we could to know that world. And I also spent some time with L.A. Homicide Detective David Reyes, who's one of our technical advisors. He knows the game instantly. And David was really an invaluable source of information into the minds of your typical game banger.
Is this something that surprised you that you learned from this film?
Yeah, I guess the thing that I learned, particularly from David, as far as the mindset, that I think is the real antagonist in this piece, is about ignorance. And a lot of these kids that are depicted in the film who are pretty unruly, who are really the problem in these schools, their world is so small. I mean, the things that are important to them, most of it's considered really trivial, but their curve is all important to them, and their friends, their fellow gang members and all. And they'll fight and die over the most inconsequential slight. And I really think the problem is ignorance, because if you could get these kids outside of this world and show them that there is a bigger world out there, expand their view of things, I think that they too would realize how unimportant a lot of things that they're killing each other over are.
It's a wonderful film. I have enough for what I need right now for that because of limited time. But
okay.
I wanted to ask Jeremy if you have something you would like to add that you feel I have to cover.
Absolutely.
I came from a law school in New Jersey.
Right.
I wound up at Chodos in the hall of a scholarship student in Connecticut. A very rough kind of New York kind of scene, not as rough as you portrayed, but getting there.
Right.
That I was watching and for 2 to 3 months in New Jersey.
Well, I mean, to me, that's, that's kind of the highest compliment to the teacher is that we've had so many people that just, wow, it really reminded me of my school experience from a lot of teachers now. And I guess we've managed to capture that ring of authenticity, that I thought the script had originally, and that's gratifying.
Were you ever frightened in the areas and locations you were in the picture?
Not really. I mean, when you're working on a film, once you really get intensely involved in what you're doing, you tend to forget about what's around you. We were such a big unit, you've got 100 people.
Yeah.
You have security and stuff that you really didn't think about too much.
None of the gang, did you use any real gang members?
Yeah, we did. We actually had a former gang member as one of our production assistants on the show.
Mm-hmm.
was exactly what I'm talking about. He was actually a great guy. But he had been a precept director since he was in prison. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened was he got out, he'd been exposed to this program, and he'd gone out and seen some more of the rest of the world. He began to realize, what am I doing? There's something else out there. This isn't everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see him struggle. But he was there every day. He did his job very closely. So I think the question I have is, did he stick with it? But this is a guy who just did in the film, in fact. He did a couple of shots. He was a top-level character. He's just come to get tattoos in prison.
Yeah, and you know, the very well-known photographer, Eli Reed, here in New Jersey, and he wound up being the project for the Reed and the Chief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he worked on the Johnson Wilkins, working with the Johnson Wilkins movie, to being a movie scholar at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that had to do with exactly what you were talking about, with seeing the rest of the world.
Yes.
And I hadn't seen Eli in years, and he ran into me at a party a few years ago, and he said, homegirl.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time in years he started to talk about that kind of education, what that has done for him.
Really?
I find the movie very interesting. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. The dilemma to me is that you take a lot of people that are from the same environment, and they get some of them get exposed to that.
They
realize, they make a choice, say, you know what, I'm going to change the way I am. I realize there's something better out there. But some of them don't make that choice.
Right.
You know, that are the real problem. Because David Reyes, came from that entire world himself, and his older brother was a gangbanger, died, and he made a choice, and he had a homicide detective, I sit there in his office, and he had a stack of cases, murder cases on the death he was doing, the one that stuck in my mind was this guy said, I'm looking for this guy here 2 weeks ago, Kevin, one of the gangsters, there are 30 different gangs, this is the division. And there was a
30 different gangs.
Well, each gang is like 2-3 square blocks. That's how small their group is.
Yeah.
And he said that they were in Seattle, which is coming out part of the death thing. So,
right.
Their 16th birthday party. And they had hired a DJ to come and play music for the party. And this guy was playing the music, and one of the local gangbangers came up to this guy who was playing music, and said, DJ, play this. And he said, well, you know, he's got a light demand, but he's stereo fighting, and he didn't realize what they wanted to do. So he got shot in the head. So he didn't play music for him. And that kind of cold-blooded, no conscience, killing. If David said, if anybody knows who he said, they're just, there's some bad people out there.
Because
you take some of the people that are trying really hard to do well and pull themselves up and solid citizens. He said, some of these guys that just make jokes, he said, they're just bad people. And he said, this is one of those people.
I mean, they put no value in life.
No. They make a choice. They make a choice. You know, they can either go one way or they can go the other. And to hear that from a guy like David, he's one of those people, he can drive down the street, look at a wall that's just smothered in graffiti, and he can read everything on the wall. He's like a scholar, he can interpret hieroglyphics, he knows everything up there.
Right. Now I understand, because since I ran into Eli again, he has somebody to talk to, he went through that similar background, he sort of hides, and but he's also the guy who goes in for because of his background as a real photographer, he will go into Detroit and see the same place that we've been in the global media
world.
What's going on. And so, as I said to him, he's left it, but yet he hasn't left it in a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, writing with David, you know, I rode with him in a couple of ships. He drives in an unmarked car by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 9mm pistol, and that's it. He's riding around with his turf engine. I have so much respect for this guy because he's so brave. And, you know, he'll ride down the street, he knows every gangster, and he knows, he can even just tell, by the way, somebody's throwing a gang sign, what gang they're from. He'll even throw signs back at him to acknowledge he knows what gang they're in. So,
He can read all the little details on these people. He can see a drug deal going down from 3 blocks away. Mm-hmm. It's like we turn the corner in front of us, see those guys that are 2 blocks away, and say, they're doing a heroin deal. Mm-hmm. He could just tell, just from the demeanor and the mannerism of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd drive by a bunch of guys sitting on a doorstep, and they'd yell something at him in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And he'd throw the car in reverse and back up, and he'd just start screaming at him in Spanish. They'd be yelling some insult.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd drive off, and he'd say, you got to take him on. He said, you can't let him know you're intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
This is one guy.
Right.
And he's a really amazing person.
Well, thank you for the information.
Oh, thank you guys for being interested.